Turning your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And as you arrive there, I have something I'd like to read for us. This is a letter that I received this week from Jeff and Sharon Butler, who are missionaries in Turkey. They are currently stateside, and they will be visiting us August 17th. So just mark that on your calendar. But they will be here Wednesday, August 17th for our evening service. But they write us an update and a letter, and the title of it is Update on the Situation. And if you have been paying attention at all, the situation is the situation in Turkey, correct? The coup that was attempted, and all of the unsettled things that are going on there. He writes, the above bridge, which he has a picture of here, is one of the places where the attempted coup in Turkey took place. This is about 2 to 5 miles from our apartments. We are thankful that all our teammates, partners, and believers were not injured. However, the sound of shots and explosions throughout the night is unnerving. Praise the Lord, they all remain safe. What does all this mean? He writes. Now, the aftershocks remain with us, a sense of less political security than ever. Results of a harsh retaliation that will have a lasting effect on society. The potential of more scrutiny on our work. Two probable ministry aftershocks will be fewer tourists from Iran, and therefore less public evangelism. However, it will mean an opportunity for added emphasis on discipleship and leadership training, as these aspects are more in-house. Are you going back? He writes. Although Istanbul is our home, uncertainty is never pleasant. Nevertheless, at this point, we do not sense that we should leave Istanbul. In the midst of the current situation, there are so many opportunities. Security has been part of our training for the last 2 years, and we will continue to make this a priority. Our girls have 1 and 2 more years of high school left, and we feel better about them remaining in a familiar school. Pray for those in country who are dealing with these stresses daily. Jeff and Sharon Butler. As I read that letter, I noticed something that was obviously absent from that letter. There was something missing. Did you notice it? Did you see? Did you hear? What was missing in that letter? I'll fill in the blank for you. Fear of what would happen to them if they went back. What was splattered all over this letter is the longing for the people of Turkey and Iran that speak the Farsi language to hear the gospel and the church to be edified and growing. Does this make sense? Really, does this make sense? This kind of attitude for an American, of which Jeff is, for an American to say, I'm not going to leave, I see no need to leave, because there is a great door of opportunity open unto me. But there are many adversaries. Does this make sense? I dare say, to the common man, and I say the common man, the man that knows not Christ, it does not make sense at all. But for the Church of Christ, for believers around the world, we approach life differently, or at least we should. Now, I stand up here, and it's easy for me to say this, isn't it? And it's easy for us to sit there to nod our heads and say, yes, amen, Pastor, you're right. Because we don't have explosions going off around us. We don't have troops marching down our streets yet. And so the exhortation for the church today is an exhortation of attitude, an attitude of the heart, a way that we ought to be looking at life and people, approaching these kinds of dangerous situations from a Christ-centered perspective. For indeed, the church and believers ought not to be moved by adversity alone, but moved by the heart of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Chapter 16 and verses 8 and 9 is where we're going to focus today. Remember, the last time we were together, we talked about the importance of the church being hospitable and encouraging and refreshing to those traveling through that are ministering the gospel, to those that are laboring for the Lord, doing the work of the Lord. And remember, Paul said he was coming. Paul said that Timothy may come and that Apollos is going to come eventually. And in each one of those instances, he says, be ready to care for them and then send them on their way, refreshed and supplied, that they may continue the ministry. But right in the midst of this, and we didn't cover this, was we see the nature of the gospel as Paul described it in verses 8 and 9. Because what does he say? He says, I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. And I say, I tell you, when I read over that, it caught my heart. Because this is so opposite of what we tend to do and to think. We get all excited about the great doors that are open for the gospel. But when there are adversaries, we are so quick to run, to cave, to close. Paul here is in Ephesus. He seems to be there, and we know from the book of Acts that he spent an extended amount of time there. So I want us to go to Acts and just take a notice to just get a brief glimpse of what he may be referring to. Notice he said there are two things that he observes in Ephesus that he says, I'm going to stay. I'm not coming right now. I'm going to stay till at least Pentecost. I'm going to stay. There were two things he noticed. There's a great and effective or active door that has opened. And secondly, many adversaries. Two things he said. Look at Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, verse 1, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. And you continue to read, and you see him ministering to these disciples, increasing their knowledge, taking them from John's teaching to the teachings of Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. We see in verse 8, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. He is in the synagogue, the gathering place of the Jews, and here he is proclaiming the things concerning the kingdom of God. Verse 9, but when divers were hardened and believed not. Here's some adversity. But spake evil of the way before the multitude. He departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Now notice here that Paul is strategic in ministry. He understands when there is something happening before him in the ministry, let's look for another option. There were people that were hardened, and there were people that were causing problems in the synagogues in the times of teaching, so he chose to go to a different place. This is not running from the problems. It's being strategic. It's understanding that when you're ministering the gospel, what did Jesus say? Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, he told his disciples. We have to be strategic in our day. We cannot look down upon our brothers and sisters in China for meeting behind closed doors in the dark with a candle and one page of a passage of scripture and saying, oh, you're afraid and running. No, this is strategic because they understand that the government has tremendous power and authority. But yet the church is growing. We notice that in verse 10, this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Talk about a wide open door that's active. This ministry is wide open. Ephesus was a key place for Asia, and Paul recognized that, and so he stayed for over 2 years ministering the gospel. But this was not a rose garden. It was not easy. We're not done. God did many miracles there, God did miracles through Paul, verses 11 and 12. But then verse 13, certain vagabond Jews, exorcists, they tried to call out evil spirits, did not work too well. And the evil spirits came out and chased them out of the house naked and wounded. End of verse 16. I'm kind of skipping down through here to cover this quickly. And we see in verse 17 that this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Notice, church, that even through adversity, the name of the Lord is magnified. Listen, it is in times of adversity, when God's people are standing for the truth, continuing to minister, that the world wakes up and notices there's something different about them. It is the adversity that draws the attention. And we must not be surprised at the church growing in leaps and bounds with our brothers and sisters around the world who are persecuted regularly, who have to meet behind closed doors. What's going on in there? What causes this pastor to stand firm on what he believes to go to prison? His belief speaks of something, and it's fascinating. Well, we'll continue in Acts chapter 19. The Lord Jesus was magnified in verse 18, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. And then there was this great fire where they brought all of their books and burned them, these magic books, books of the devil. And verse 20, what does it say? It says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. I mean, Paul was in an exciting place. Exciting things were happening. Hard? Yes. Difficult? Surely. Did he have to be careful where he went? And yes, he did. But God was working. It's a wide open door. You know, so often we in a church talk about open doors, don't we? That's biblical. It's in the scriptures. A wide open door. It's an opportunity. Well, Verse 21, and after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. And so we know one of the reasons he's going to Jerusalem is what? What did we learn in 1 Corinthians? He's going to take a gift from the Gentile churches to Jerusalem because the people in Jerusalem, the saints there, were having a very difficult time. Verse 23, at the same time there arose no small stir about that way. What's that way? Isn't it interesting here, the language Luke uses? Luke is the writer of Acts. It's interesting the language he uses here. Okay? He speaks of the way. And that's a term that the church used to speak of the way of Christ. And so you all are believers in the way. And so there is some stirring up in regards to the way. What did this have to deal with? Well, it had to deal with Demetrius. He was a silversmith and he made idols. And so he got all of the idol guild together. You know, this is like a union, and they get all together, and he gets up and he shares, listen, we are in trouble. This guy, Paul, is preaching another message about another god, and he's saying that all these little gods that we are making are not gods at all. We have a problem. We're going to lose our shirt off our back because of this preacher. And so it gets everybody excited. And so what happens? Verse 28, and when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath, and they cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And so this great crowd takes to the streets, and the city is filled with confusion, and they begin to shout, great is Diana. This took place in the city for 2 hours, verse 34 says. I mean, the details are there. Verse 34, but when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. They had grabbed some of the disciples of Paul, and they kind of put them up before him, and the people were angry. And for 2 hours, they just said, great is Diana of Ephesus. Great is Diana. And all of this is because, what? Paul is preaching the gospel. He's getting a lot of attention. This is a lot of airtime. Imagine the media. This would be there. Now, what would the reasoning be? Why? Because they're upset about Paul preaching what? The gospel of Jesus. And so, this was an incredible obstacle. Now we're in chapter 20, verse 1. After the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples, and he embraced them, and he departed for to go into Macedonia. After the uproar, then it was time to leave. That's just a small glimpse, a small example of what I believe Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. He says, a great door and effectual is opened unto me. Certainly, we as a church must understand ministry opportunities. We must see them as that, God's open door. And this word effectual in the King James is an energeo. It is the same word that you find in Hebrews 4:12 that's speaking of the word of God, and it's translated powerful. The word of God is quick and powerful. Same word. And it speaks of great energy. It's active. And this is what we ought to be about. And we ought to be a people that are directed by the opportunities and the activity of God, and not by adversity. Now think about this. Think of the ramifications of it. I am not saying that God will not use adversity to move us The Bible is very clear. He does. What happened in Acts with Saul coming amongst the church, Acts chapter 8, he tells us that he was going and he was persecuting people. And the scripture tells us that in Jerusalem, many people, the church was scattered across the world, except for the apostles. Very interesting detail. Why were they scattered? Because there was incredible persecution, but what? God wanted the world to know the gospel. And so God moved. And people were scattered. You know, as I contemplate this, because there very easily could come a day when we may have to make decisions such as this. You know, on a smaller scale, you may be facing decision like that even today. There are people that maybe you at work, it is so hard to go to work because of the ridicule you receive, because of your integrity for standing up for what is right, and you do things right, and the people are upset with you. And you receive that day in and day out. You have a decision to make. You're skilled. You could get another job somewhere else, surely. Don't be motivated to leave just because you're tired of the adversity. You see, we as believers need to look at life and people and adversity through the lenses of God and His Word. And asking this question, not, oh, such a problem, but, oh, God, what's the opportunities? How do you want to use me here in this place? And so, God, use me. Oh, God, use me. I was overcome by this, and I wanted to share this with you. You see, even our missionaries are facing these things. How's the butlers going to make this decision? Erase God from the picture, and the decision would seem to be fairly easy, wouldn't it? Steer clear. Stay out of the way. But once you understand that we are about the work of God, we are doing the labor of the Lord, things change, doesn't it? That's a whole new world. And you're the same person, but listen, when you look at things like that, it is in those days that you are reminded that you serve a mighty God. And you serve a mighty God who cares about the lives of people. And you are reminded that one day God cared about you. And He came in your life, and your life was changed. Listen, adversity is a part of the Christian life. Our brothers and sisters around the world tell us to not pray that persecution end, but pray that they endure. Many opportunities are wide open for the gospel. How are we to respond? What are we to use to govern our decisions? Dear ones, Romans chapter 14 gives us a little bit of insight into this. Because it tells us that we will give an account to God for our decisions. And I want to encourage you about something. Understanding that you as a believer, you're going to give an account to God for the decisions that you make. Allow your decisions to be motivated by your faith. And not out of fear. Faith and not out of fear. When Jesus spoke with His disciples and He was sending them out, He told them, I'm sending you out like sheep going among wolves. I mean, Jesus is just all right out there. I'm sending you out like sheep and going among wolves. But in the course of that passage in Matthew, He tells these disciples, listen, You're going to be arrested. You're going to be taken. You're going to be imprisoned. All of these things are going to be happen to you. But do not fear what you shall say, because the Spirit will speak for you. You see, even Jesus told his disciples, expect adversity. But I'm sending you out because the doors are wide open. And do not fear. Oh, what a crucial message for the church. What a crucial message for me. Our last deacon's meeting. Usually, we in our deacon's meeting, I love our deacon's meetings. I mean, we have a precious time together. Half the meeting often is praying. And I was able to just share openly with them about some of the fears that I have as a preacher of the gospel. And now I'm reading in the media different things that are coming against pastors, just like you are. And I was just sharing, I have some very honest fears. And if I was governed by these fears, I would not continue to do this. I must be governed by something greater than fear. And I submit to you that that is faith. And what is that faith? That faith is founded upon an understanding of a great God. And dear ones, if you are going to stand, and if you're going to have the perspective that Paul had, saying, I'm going to stay because the doors are wide open, even though there's adversity, I'm going to stay. If you're going to have that perspective, then make sure that you know your God. How do you do that? Spend time in His Word. Have you ever heard me say that before? You've got to be in His Word. Don't be surprised if you neglect time with God and His Word and prayer. Don't be surprised if you don't feel like coming to church, if you feel like you're caving at your work, if you feel like you're caving in your parenting at home. When I say caving, doing things the world's way and not God's way, don't be surprised at that, because when adversity will come, you're going to take the easy route. That's just natural humanity. But we have been called to serve the Lord. And this takes us back to the verse in end of chapter 15, where it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so, Christian, the nature of the gospel is this, that God opens doors, God opens hearts, God grants opportunities. Christian, you be aware of that, and you be watching for that, and don't allow adversity to dictate your life. Fear will paralyze us, but faith mobilizes us. We must be a people of faith. God, thank you for this word, and I thank you for the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. And God, I firmly believe this urging from the Spirit today is very timely in the hearts and lives of these dear people. And I know it is in my own heart. The days when I question, the days when I fear, drive me to my knees in my belief in you and your greatness. And guide and direct us, Lord. Help us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Understanding, God, that you are sovereign and your providence, we see it. I pray that, Lord, as a result of these dear people standing up for the truth, even under adversity, many will hear the gospel. and come and be saved. I think now of Franklin Graham and the ministry. As Lord, they are going into places of great adversity to pray and to preach the gospel. And I pray for that ministry, and I pray that you would use us as a church to be an encouragement and challenge our hearts as we go to this event. And God, we're not going to be entertained. We are going to be edified, encouraged, and challenged. And Lord, because there are great open doors, even in this state of New York, even in the midst of adversity, you are still working. In Jesus' name, amen.